It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. He's Jim Galante. We are talking about the Penn State football team for the 2019 season. Players that as of now, as we navigated a whole winter and spring to get to this point where training camp has begun, we're looking at guys who somehow stayed below the radar. And these are players in Jim's estimation here, you know, speaking on behalf of the average fan, which he likes to do. And I think you do a pretty good job of that. I think your temperament is in the middle there. You're not going crazy like some of the others who are lighting up the message boards and not but also realistic at the same time.
So your description as average as opposed to above average, you just mean by temperament. Well, otherwise, I'm an above average fan, right?
Well, you're speaking for the average fan. You're channeling your average fan. All but right. I think just in general in life, you're pretty ordinary.
Okay. That's what we call the pregnant pause, right?
Yep. I think
great radio.
Ordinary is a good way to put it.
Okay.
I mean, you're okay. You're not great, but you're pretty good. You're welcome. But anyway, so the average fan.
Moving on.
You know, like there's only so much airtime in our case or writing time in a lot of cases or what have you that you could dedicate to the huge number of players who are on the Penn State's roster. So you can't cover everybody at once. I want to start on the offense players that like maybe you're curious about them. Maybe their name just didn't come up very often through the spring. And some there's a pretty good reason for that.
Exactly. Starting on offense, well, first of all, James Franklin kind of did our job for us, didn't he? A bit. And
yeah,
I think there's a certain, in going through this, my list, there was a certain model to this, which is players who are back, but they're not the superstar or they're not the freshman or redshirt freshman who's bursting onto the scene. So I'd like to do it position by position. Let me start with the wide receivers. And it was fascinating when we had James Franklin's quotes. He was asked about KJ Hamler and talked about Mac Hippenhammer. I think that means something, but what it also does, Hippenhammer was playing baseball in the spring.
Right.
So he was easy to forget. Plus, if you're going to talk about the wide receivers, you're going to talk about KJ Hamler. You're going to talk about Justin Shorter, you know, what he brings to the table. And those guys who, they're still young, they're still sophomores, like Jahan Dotson and Mac Hippenhammer got forgotten. And they're going to have to play major roles. And we're going to find out that one of them, at least between, I'd say, Dotson and Hippenhammer, is going to step up. And who knows, maybe be the next Deshaun Hamilton, you know, that guy who isn't necessarily the big guy like Justin Shorter is or quite as dynamic as KJ Hamler, but is just playing that reliable receiver who if you put the ball near him, they will make the catch and they will find ways to get open.
Jahan Dotson in particular, you know, I wouldn't say he's flown under the radar because you're I think the thing about the wide receiver position, and these are two, you know, some names, Mac Hippenhammer and Cam Sullivan Brown jump right to mind for me.
I had the other one highlighted too, yes.
He's on your list too. Part of it is just not knowing how Penn State's going to use all these guys because none on the surface, the way that we see them really seem to differentiate themselves from another. Like obviously Justin Shorter, you know, with that upside, you're excited about that. KJ Hamler, you know, the 5'9", 5'10 guy, like James Franklin mentioned about maybe moving him outside to make room for Mac Hippenhammer, who he called a natural football player. Mac Hippenhammer is just a natural athlete. And the thing about him playing baseball is that there's this sort of dog-eat-dog competition for spots on Penn State's wide receiver depth chart. And meanwhile, he's playing in the outfield for Penn State's baseball team. I never knew what to make of that. But James Franklin obviously is still high on him. He went out of his way to bring him up.
He is. And we always, or at least I'm, again, the average fan, you overplay certain plays, have some meaning to you and stick in your head. And I remember the spring 2018 when Hip and Hammer played well, there was a specific play where on the replay you just saw him do something not many Penn State wide receivers did, which was he got himself open.
And he caught it.
Okay. Yes, he caught it
both
also.
Both of those things.
Both of those things are unique, and I shouldn't overstate a single play, but as fans, we have a tendency to do that. That's what makes us fans. But I saw that play, and it just impressed me when we've kept hearing over the last couple of years that the Penn State receivers do not create separation. And he showed the ability to do that, at least for one play in a blue-white game.
Yeah.
And that has stuck with me. And hearing James Franklin bring him up when he didn't need to, and the other part to this, the other name, Jahan Dotson, he made several plays last year when you had other guys just dropping balls. So I think those are two guys who've been forgotten. And again, hey, I'm really looking forward to seeing Justin Shorter play, and his ceiling is so high. But let's not forget these guys.
Yeah, don't forget. And, you know, Jahan Dotson, just to your point about, you know, kind of looking for that Deshaun Hamilton type, Jahan Dotson just reminded me of a guy who that slot receiver role will come naturally to him. A lot of things seem to be coming naturally to him. He too is undersized, though. That, you know, and that to me is just something that I am eager to see how that plays out. And what James Franklin said when he was asked about KJ Hamler and basically making sure that he gets all the touches that he needs, he went out of his way to bring up Mack Hippenhammer. Also, just talked about what they're looking for in wide receivers. They value that versatility. They want to be able to show different looks. What he said about Hippenhammer is maybe on a matchup basis in a particular game, you move KJ Hamler outside to make room for Mack Hippenhammer. What else are they going to do based on matchups and you know, the opponent's cornerback strengths and weaknesses? You know, like, let's just say they're heavy on big cornerbacks. Do you throw out, you know, all your quick guys and try to make some? So Penn State's going to have the ability to do that. And I think for the most part, I've said it a bunch of times, like when you've got a lot of good running backs, it is an opportunity to mix and match, to ride the hot hand, to play matchups, what have you. But it's also kind of a burden. It's something that you better manage that well. It's another thing for your offensive coordinator to manage. Having all these wide receivers with the varying strengths, with the varying sizes and profiles, that's an opportunity, but also, I think, a burden for Ricky Ronnie.
Very good. I'm moving on to the next position. Let's talk running back since you did that. And it's hard to ever believe a running back, someone gets overlooked. And I know on our show, we've talked about him quite a bit. I know he's become one of my favorites. In fact, last week we did Who Do We Have Our Man Crushes On? And this was one of mine, Devin Ford. And there's been a lot. Obviously, Ricky Slade's the heir apparent. He's going to get most of the carries, or the most carries among the group. There's been a lot of Journey Brown discussion. Noah Kane put himself in the conversation in the spring. Don't forget about Devin Ford.
He at some point in time, I don't know whether it's this year, I don't know whether it's in the future, he's going to make it impossible to forget about him. I just don't know what timeline we're working with here. And you know Noah Kane arriving and doing a good job in the spring. Jaywan Sider said as much. The plan, the expectation is for Noah Kane to play. And if that's the case, you look at the situation and you say, how is it that Devin Ford's going to crack that rotation? And the way he's going to do that is by making it, to borrow James Franklin's phrase about the quarterback competition, by making it obvious. He's got the talent and the ability to do that. He's arriving. He arrived later than Noah Kane. His skill set isn't as complementary to Journey Brown and Ricky Slade as Noah Kane's are, but he's a special player, and we've seen, you know, we've got some pretty good recent examples of players proving that despite arriving late. Yitor Gross-Matos did it in 2017. Some others did it as well. I'm blanking.
Wasn't
on some
Jahan Dotson, true freshman
Dotson
last
was
year?
The example last year. Yep. So it can be done. It looks like on paper that things are sorted out, but Devin Ford's gonna have his say.
Exactly. And running back, the two things that are his advantages, you can play as a freshman running back, number one. And number two, with that four-game trial period, you could say, well, maybe he did it on the practice field. Can he do it in games and never be able to find out? With that four-game rule, we could find out.
He can make it extra obvious by doing it in real game situations.
Yes. And us average fans who are going to see him make a big play in those first couple games, we're going to say, hey, where is he? So
get used to it. His instincts for the position, I think, are the best of this group. I think that helps him.
Plus, we had him on the show. Very impressive young guy.
He is. He is.
All right. You ready to talk offensive linemen?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Again, it's a situation where you have a couple guys who are the obvious. You're going to talk about Rashid Walker. That's the name that everyone's going to talk about. Some of the upperclassmen you forget about, and I think one of them is Will Fries. You talked earlier about how important that left tackle position is. How about right tackle? How about Will Fries? You know, that's a lot of responsibility over there also.
Not to mention somebody who started, I mean, he started probably 15-plus games without looking at his bio. Like, he's been an important guy on this offense. He hasn't been asked to be the definitive starter yet. So that's the ask now. That's the difference between the last 2 years when he's been super versatile. He stepped into roles on the left side, on the right side. Now you're going to ask him to hold down a job. I think because the fact that he hasn't been relied upon to this degree before, you don't think too much about him. And maybe that's a compliment to not be concerned about him either. I think fans are in this weird spot where you're not super optimistic about Will Fries, but you're not super pessimistic about him either.
Which means he's average,
he's
and we don't talk about
him. He's the U of the offensive line.
That's right.
No, but I think he's probably got a higher ceiling than he gets credit for. And you just never know now that he's empowered to be a starter and to be a leader, what he's going to be capable of doing.
I want to give one more on the line, and that's Michael Mennett, who he came in to Penn State as a freshman with a lot of fanfare. And because he didn't start as a true freshman, what's wrong? All of a sudden, he settled in. He started at center as a redshirt sophomore. He's a returning starter. He's in the middle making the calls. He's a veteran now, ready to take that leadership role. And we haven't really talked about him.
He could be one of the Big Ten's best centers. I think this is the year where he goes out and proves what all the recruiting hubbub was about. All right, we're not done with forgotten players. We're going to switch to the defense right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.